This is Yusuf.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment. Yes, we're in February. We're in full swing with our black movie-ish. And we are in the week of love, I guess.
Yes, and because we are in the week of love, our throwback is actually not going to be a black representation movie. We are stepping out of our theme for the month and just doing a dark classic.
Yes, that everyone will universally appreciate.
Yeah.
And love once we drop it to you.
Yeah, but today we are doing something that recently came out on Amazon Prime, and it's a newer romance drama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the name of it is Sylvie's Love, starring Valkyrie herself, Tessa Thompson, from the Marvel Valkyrie movies. Let me see if I can pronounce the name. Nnamdi Asamuka.
I will take that. I will accept that pronunciation because I'm pretty sure I would mess that up. Thank you for saying it.
Okay, I'm sure I mess it up too. And Eva Longoria is in it. Everyone's good. Actually, I had to do a double take when I seen her in this movie. It's like, oh, that's Eva Longoria. Huh.
I don't think I know. I know she played Carmen, but I'm trying to think who was Carmen in the movie.
In this movie?
Yeah.
Eva Longoria.
I don't remember her being in the movie.
Yeah, she was the she was like the only Hispanic woman. Like, but she would pop in like maybe 2-3 scenes when they were like when the band was together and they would have like those house parties.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And they did like the birthday song to her. Like, I think one part it was her birthday party, right?
Yeah. Got it. Okay. So yeah. So she was maybe in the movie for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was in and out, but she's always enjoyed her. Enjoyed watch. Now this movie, it's directed by Eugene Ash, who resides from New York City. And he's fairly new to the game. This is actually his first film directorial debut. He directed some episodes of the Amazon series Homecoming, I believe the first season. And so this is his first movie.
Yeah, so this movie is about when a young woman meets an aspiring saxophonist in her father's record shop in 1950s Harlem. Their love ignites a sweeping romance that transcends changing times, geography, and professional success. And so we follow Tessa's character, whose name is Sylvie. Mm-hmm. Who's the young woman working in her father's record shop who's aspiring to be a TV producer.
Yeah. And the film opens up with like her like standing alone outside of a theater waiting for someone. And she comes across like Robert walks past and, Robin and Sylvie have this probably like, oh, hey, hi. Like, wow, where have you been? All this stuff. And then it flashes back 5 years earlier. So, like, the opening is 1962. But then we flash back, 5 years earlier from that to see how do we get to that point in front of the theater, which generally says starts off at the record shop where Sylvie is doing her thing. And, it's funny. It kind of reminded me, like, if they did Half Fidelity, that takes place in the 50s.
Yes. Yeah. The movie overall reminded me of a lot of like old school romance movies, something you might see with Audrey Hepburn type of movie where Sylvie's the Audrey Hepburn character. going through her life and seeing life and her love through her eyes as she's interacting with the different men in her life.
Wow. Yeah. Good pool. Wow. That's, yeah, definitely. It really had that old MGM romance feel to it. Yeah. Yeah. Even like the interaction, kind of like the flirtiness between Robert and Sylvie definitely have that old, like vintage feel to it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like because it had that old feel, old school feel to it, like all the romance scenes were, it was from a female gaze and not a male gaze. And what I mean from that is that male gaze, even when you're looking at male characters, is all about their, like, whether it's female or male characters, it's all about their body and how they look and how they move. Mm-hmm. This movie is definitely filmed from the female gaze, which is interesting because it's a male director. But he focuses on like the interactions and the communications and the touching and the gazing at each other versus like the sexy time.
Exactly. Which actually wasn't really a lot in the movie. Like, I mean, far as sexy time. I mean, yeah. There were moments here and there where, you know, you see them get hot and heavy, but it definitely wasn't a vehicle just to have two good looking stars just, you know, being between the sheets every like 3 minutes where because they're, you know, because life kept interfering with with them. You know, like in IMDb. Oh, by the way, do you agree with the IMDb description? Because sometimes you're like, no, that's not right. Or, yeah,
I agree. Yeah, I feel, yeah, it's appropriate. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree too.
I don't know if it's a sleeping romance, but maybe they're sleeping romances because it goes through the decade of the 60s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and it's very interesting because when I was watching this movie, I was kind of thinking about my parents because, I mean, the soundtrack of the movie, pretty much all of the songs, I can hear my parents play on their records back home because all of these songs, I knew mostly all of them that were playing because I remember my parents used to play all of these songs. So I was just wondering, like, wow, I wonder if, you know, kind of like this was, you know, what my parents' era, more or less, but... You know, I just couldn't help but to think of like putting my parents in Tessa Robert's shoes because it's that era that my parents kind of came from, more or less. Minus, you know, the New York, them being from New York, right? But
right, yeah. this movie, the specific Audrey Hepburn movie that it reminded me of was Two for the Road, which is about a couple in the south of France. That sort of recounting their history and the infidelity that they've experienced over the 10 years of their marriage. So Sylvie's Love also takes place over about 10 years. So yeah. Maybe that's why it was, but it was a lot of the interaction between the characters. But yes, the music was fantastic. I'm not a fan of jazz, but they did a nice job of incorporating the jazz that Robert was playing because he was a jazz saxophonist. Mm-hmm. And more of the like that 60s contemporary music sung by Black musicians.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely. And it's really interesting and unique. It taking place in this moment in time where things were changing within within the world, within America, within the Black community. It was just like all these kind of things were just shifting, yeah. Especially with Robert, you know, like the taste of music was slowly shifting and he was getting behind the ball of, you know, what's popular now. And he slowly realizing like he's on the outs, you know, he was the hot shit before, but you know, time changes things, and him trying to cope with that, him trying to deal with the reality of, you know, like kind of dreams shattered almost.
So it's funny. So our movie last week, One Night in Miami, took place in 64. Mm-hmm. And part of this movie takes place in 64. And it is with Robert's music playing in the early 60s was more of that 50s jazz sound. And when you get into 64, when he's sort of struggling with where do I go from here, you have more of that rock and roll, rockabilly type of sound coming in, influenced by like a lot of things that are going on with Sam Cooke and the Detroit sound and everything. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was very unique, like seeing the character like go through that particular strife in their lives in regards to the musical landscape, or at least black music, the black musical landscape at that time. And then Sylvie, what I really liked about how they introduced her, like visually, is like first you don't like see her face, like she's watching TV, like she don't turn around. She's like, you know, like this is like she's into TV. She watched I Love Lucy. She laughed. It's almost like she's studying TV, which makes sense as we know her more throughout the movie. It was a good visual, like, introduction to her. Why not, like, her spilling out, like, oh, this is my... Yeah. Like, you just see it in that first shot. Like, she's just studying TV, and it's like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
Right. So even though, like, she's a teenage girl working at a record store, you'd think that she'd be all over like, oh, a hot boy walked in, let me focus on him. But her priorities in life are her dreams and her goals, which is studying the TV so that she can become that TV producer.
Right. Yeah. I thought that was really clever how they introduced her visually. Being in just the, in the valley of all of this amazing music in this store, that, you know, she's not flipping records left and right, just listening to everything. Nah, she just watches TV. She's not paying attention to any of the records or anything like that in her store. As throughout the years, we see like the ebb and flow of their careers, and then kind of like the intersection of their feelings for each other, and, you know, that love and the choices that they have to make. Yeah.
So this is the movie also reminds me of what it's the short story where the woman cuts her hair to buy a watch chain and the guy sells his watch to get her a comb. I can't remember the name of that.
That's a short. Is it like a black and white or something? Yeah, what is
it? No, it's a written story. I don't know if it was.
It's a written story. No, I don't know. We gotta look that up. Well, as soon as you find it, put it up on.
So like, in addition to every like them going through their careers and them falling in love with each other, a theme throughout the movie is that they are sacrificing their love for the other person so that that person can be successful and do what they dream of. And so the first time we see that is Sylvie and Robert have fallen in love. They have some unprotected sex and she gets knocked up and he gets an opportunity to go tour Paris. So instead of her telling him, hey, I'm pregnant, she lets him go so that he can go live his dream. And the second time that happens is he tells her that he doesn't want her to come with him to Detroit, that she needs to stay in New York and do her dream. So he sacrificed his love for her so that she could continue working in her dream field of a TV producer.
Yeah, like the whole back and forth, because you know, because Robert came across a friend.
It's the gift magi.
The gift magi. Oh, that sounds familiar. Gift magi. Okay, cool. All right, yeah, we need to put that up. Yeah, because there was a point in the movie where Robert comes across a friend who, I think his name was Big Tank, and he's like, "Oh, you know, I'm in. You need to come to Detroit. I'm working Motown. Just all you have to do is just stop by. You know, just blow smoke up Robert's ass." And it entices Robert to say, "Hey, we should go to Detroit. I want you to come to Detroit with me because, you know, I think I can get into Motown." And so initially, Sylvie's like, okay, well, I go with you. But Robert makes that first, that first maiden voyage to Detroit to kind of lock down a job. But surprise, the person he knows is just kind of like a lackey and assistant and don't know anyone in Motown. So with that, he just tells Sylvie, like, you know, I'm going to go. I don't want you to come. I mean, well, like we were saying, he was kind of just sacrificing that so she can have her career because her trajectory was going up, 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 up. I mean, she started as assistant and then she moved up to another position. Like things were going really great for her in her career. And Robert seen it and he didn't want to be the one to snatch her from that trajectory for an unsure thing in Detroit that he knows now is an unsure thing in Detroit. So, yeah. So he was like, hey, you know, I'd rather go while you have your career. So yeah, I mean, you're right. It was so much like an old school movie, in the sense of like, it's the choices they made was the declaration of their, you know, love for one another. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I feel like in a lot of modern romance stories, the characters are very selfish and it's what I want. And this is something nice and old school that they're really giving up something for the other person. So it is quite lovely.
Yeah, definitely. the actor who plays Robert, I mean, I'm not going to try to say his name again, and Tazer, I mean, they were great on screen. They have really good chemistry. I mean, they were, it worked between those two. I mean, like the initial conversation, kind of like the get to know you, like flirty aspect stage of their courting, so to speak, was charming. That's the word. Like the movie was charming. It was charming without trying to be like overtly lovey dovey.
It felt more realistic for how a real life love story might go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it wasn't like, oh, you know, you love. Oh, we have sex every 3 minutes. This is awesome. And then something happens, like, oh, okay, I gotta leave. And then it'll be your obligatory, someone's running through the rain and get the love back, it's gotta be something like that in these my movies. I'm sorry, you know, just got to be something. This is a good departure from like your formulaic, you know, love story.
Yeah. So the guy that plays Robert, he's actually a former Los Angeles Raiders. Really? I had no idea he was a football player. He was the Oakland Raiders at the time. And he was best defensive back, earning him the starting position in 2008, 9, and 10 in the Pro Bowls. he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated in 2011 after signing with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow.
And we're recording this on Super Bowl Sunday, so it's kind of hilarious. Wow. On our football players.
All right. Hey, see how stuff comes around. Wow. Well, I think this is almost historic, you know, like a transition, like a okay, let me say this. A professional American football player that transitioning over to the realm of acting that can actually act.
Well, yeah, he's not another action star. He's playing a dramatic role.
Right, yes, and he can hold his own. So I think this is the first I've seen. Well, I don't know. I take that back. Well, but then again, Jim Brown was in a lot of action movies. I don't think he wasn't in a lot of like dramas. So.
No, yeah. No.
Okay, so I'm gonna stand by that first statement. Yeah, I'm trying to think of any like white like football players that transit. Howie Long.
it's so funny because last week you mentioned what's his name was in Leverage.
Yeah, Aldis Hodge. Aldis.
Yeah. So in 2010. Robert was in Leverage. He played in one of the episodes in season 3.
Huh. Right on.
So we're just connecting all of our actors.
Yeah, this is our black acting bingo cards.
Yes.
Yeah, just crossing them. Yeah, cool. Yeah. So okay. So the rating for February or this year. For now, is you said stay at home. This is, you know, this is a good movie to sit down and watch. Curl up in the fireplace with your, you know, with that special person if you don't want to watch something nice and, you know, and fluffy and, you know, if you're out of getting the mood for love. Putting your shoes on, kind of playing, go outside. It's like, yeah, I don't know. And going outside and getting COVID laced roses and bringing them back home.
I mean, this is curl up with my dog and watch it, definitely. like I said, it does remind me of the old school romance movies. It's very slow. Although it's PG-13, I'm not sure if it's something the kids would be into unless they're into old school movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a very charming, nice, lovely movie.
Yeah, agreed. Same here. You know, if you want a departure from your normal, your regular kind of love story. I mean, you know, this is a decent one to watch. You know, plus it's Black History Month. You know, watch some black love. You know, we see white folks get hooked up all the time. Let's watch some black people be in love. So that's yeah, plus, yeah, it was like Jenna was saying, it was charming, and actually it ended almost like a little MGM movie, like that last line that Robin says. And then it kind of slowly cranes out and up a little bit, almost like an MGM ending. Yeah, you're right.
Yes, 100%. It is. Like, the entire time I was watching this, I'm like, this is a 1960s movie.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it doesn't just take place in 1960s. This is a movie that I would have watched in 1960.
Yeah. The aesthetic, everything felt like a movie that was 1960. Yeah. So hats off to the director for, you know, bringing a story like this to life in such a nice way. And to Jenna's point, you know, establishing the female gaze within the love story element of this movie, and not male gaze all the time, which is a refreshing change that everyone needs to watch. Again, this is on Amazon, and yeah, you know, watch with the one. Oh, watch it by yourself, whatever, it's fine.
So. I mean, I don't have a loved one, so I've been quarantining for a year by myself. And this movie still appealed to me. Even if you're dead inside, you will enjoy this movie.
Yeah, and that's an endorsement of all endorsements, people. Right? Cool. So that's Sylvie's Love on Amazon Prime. Check it out until Thursday. We wish everyone a safe physical distancing and
wear a mask.
Yes.